Dick Hyland, hailed by the Saturday Evening Post as the most controversial sports writer in the United States. Dick, what did you say?
I've been watching boxing for many years. You may cure it, but you can't kill it. The people in the game would have killed it years ago if it could be killed.
Art Cohen, well-known sports editor and screenwriter whose last picture, The Setup, was lauded by the London Chronicle as the greatest fight picture ever made. You started this argument, didn't you, Art?
No, I didn't start it. Kane started it when he killed Abel, and they're still going pretty good. 44 men have been killed in the ring in the last 4 years. Laugh that off.
That's Harry W. Flannery with the bell again. Harry Flannery, author of Assignment to Berlin and Off Mic, will act as referee for the big bout in tonight in Sports Straight from the Shoulder. And here's the leadoff question. Should boxing be abolished? We'll hear what the sports experts have to say about this important question in just a minute.
Gentlemen, as referee, I have only a few rules. When you hear this bell, break cleanly, be quiet, and wait for me to cue one of you in. In the heat of argument, be careful of your language. Remember, we're on the air. You all understand?
Yeah.
All right, then. From Allentown, Pennsylvania, John McGurty has been sent a pair of regulation boxing gloves autographed by the Manassas Mauler, Jack Dempsey, and the invincible Gene Tunney for sending in the question, should boxing be abolished? Art Cohen, you said the fight racket, as you phrased it, should be abolished. Do you still stick to your statement?
Yes, I do. The fight racket should be abolished for the simple reason that it is a form of murder. The object of fighting is to pound your opponent unconscious for a minimum of 10 seconds. That is the minimum, to knock him out for at least 10 seconds. What about the maximum? The maximum, obviously, is for keeps. In plain words, to kill him.
Mark? You got something to say to that?
Yeah, I got something to say to it. The guy cheated on us. He brought a manuscript. I thought we were ad-libbing around here.
No, I'm not an ad-libber.
Oh, I see.
I don't think there's anything wrong with boxing that you can't cure.
I don't say with reform. You must remember right now, Harry, and gentlemen and ladies, that you have fewer boxers of good talent than at any time in the last 50 years. Let us get 8 new champions. I don't think you'll have much wrong with boxing. And as an old sports writer and one who's covered boxing for many years, I'd hate to think that the coming generations were never to see a Dempsey or a Tunney or a Benny Leonard or a Joe Gans or a Fitzsimmons or a Jeffries. I don't think I'd like that.
Dick, have you something to say on that?
Yes, I would. I think that there should be a little bit of sanity expressed and thought. Mr. Cohen comes up with incorrect figures to start with. It wasn't 44. It was 42, which Lord knows is bad enough. 26 of those were professionals in the last 3 years. It's going up. It was 10 in 47, 14 in 48, 18 last year. Some very, very good boxers. There is nothing wrong with the game of boxing. There is something horribly wrong with the people in it. There are thugs. There are ex-convicts, men who should not be permitted in any public kind of an office at all. And certainly when you are in the entertainment world, you are in a public office, and they should be thrown right on their ear out of there. Now, if you want names, Mr. Cohen or Mr. Kelly, we can name a couple. I'm sure you both know a few.
How about it, Art?
Well, ad-libbing, I would say that bullfighting and cockfighting is illegal in this country because it is considered cruel. I think a human being
is
as good as a bull or a rooster.
What do you think of marriage? That's cruel, too, at times.
This is a sports program, Dick, and marriage is a very serious thing.
Also,
these 42 or 44 fighters who were killed, the point is not that they're dead. The point is that your insane asylums, your relief rolls, are full of thousands of men who are insane, punch drunk, blind as a result of fighting. Now, again, ad-libbing, Mark.
Could you name a couple of those, and could you say... You say they're full of them. Now, what do you mean by full of?
This is supposed to be a half-hour audition, and I haven't time to go into hundreds of names.
Well, just start in and take 30 seconds.
Pete Herman is pretty blind down in New Orleans.
Running a good bar, though. He's making a lot of dough.
Yes, he is. He's running a good bar. In fact, that's about one of the few things a fighter can do when the fight racket is through with him, to tend a bar.
Mickey Walker's making a living as a painter.
I have nothing against it. I'm just saying that...
Jack Dempsey's producing movies. You'd sell him one, too.
Well, yes, I would. The point is that every time a man is struck with a blow by your hand, it jars your brain. The brain, and this is nothing to laugh at, the brain is not tied on inside your skull. It bounces back and forth every time you're hit. The injury to a brain cannot be repaired.
Did you ever see that machine that shows what a jar you get when you take a step and your heel doesn't have an O'Sullivan on it?
Yes, but I'd rather take a step than to get punched in the face by Joe Louis or even by you, Dick.
I will not attempt it. That beak is too far out for me to reach your face.
How about it, Mark? Well, you haven't been in there.
The course is too easy.
Well, I think you're missing a very, very vital point in this exchange of BOMOs between these two gentlemen. One of the things wrong with boxing has been the commission form of government, where in each state there's a boxing commission. And to the best of my knowledge, in 25 years of writing boxing, I have only known one commissioner of boxing who rightfully had his job.
Is that one of the reforms you'd make?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I would say that no man could go on a boxing commission who didn't know the ins and outs of that business and quit playing politics with it.
They appointed Mark, they appointed a man in this state who wanted to get on the prison board. But there was not a vacancy in this state on the prison board, so they made him a boxing commissioner. That man had never seen a bout in his life. He's from San Diego.
Well, these men, I grant you that some of them aren't too bright, but they're not as bad as the rules that they're supposed to enforce.
They may be very bright.
They don't make the rules. The rules are in the book.
Wait a minute.
I wrote a letter to Archie Clawson, chairman of the State Athletic Commission, and I asked this about a year ago. And I said, why do you give out so many licenses to convicts, ex-convicts, thieves, ex-murderers, etc.? And his answer was, quote, "We do not give out any more licenses to ex-convicts than any other state bureau," unquote. And that's Clawson, the chairman of the commission. I say, with such rules that do not prevent a convict, a thief, a murderer from getting a license to be a manager, a promoter, a boxer in this state, what can you expect of the racket?
Well, I don't quite get your reasoning there, Art.
Well, you didn't get the reasoning about 42 men being killed.
Well,
and thousands getting punched drunk. There's some nonsense about good fighters.
You want to abolish automobiles?
Yes, you can get drunk without being punched, and it's much better that way.
Well, let me finish out with you. I just wanted to ask you one question. You're talking about this. Didn't these commissioners form these rules?
Commissioners before them? They don't seem to be able to or want to.
All right. Well, are they fighting now under the markers of Queensbury rules or the London prize ring rules?
Definitely no.
Each politician's come in and said, "We'll put in this new rule." That's what's bothering
me. Marcus of Queensbury rules, Marcus Aurelius, was only about one page long, small page.
That's all you needed.
The present rules for the State of California Boxing Commission has got about 54 pages of fine print, and then they have about 40 more pages explaining those 54.
Dick and Mark, both of you have very cleverly sidestepped the fundamental issue, which I think is this. I stated it. I said boxing is a form of murder.
Well, I think you're wrong. To begin with, if so, I would have been dead a long time ago, because I've probably boxed as many rounds as you have written columns. And I started in when I was 8 years old in the Olympic Club in San Francisco with a very good instructor. I learned how to protect myself. It gave me a certain degree of self-confidence that later on, when I tried to play football and was weighing only 145, 48, I wasn't afraid of those big devils because they were 200 pounds. That didn't mean anything. We'd belted out 200-pounders in the ring. You know what you're doing, and it's all right. If you don't know what you're doing, and there is the trouble with boxing today, the managers are not teaching the boys how to box before they are forcing them to box because they want money. Now, you talk to the managers, and you find out that they say the boys don't want to learn. The boys want that dollar right away. So they get a 10-round fight when they're not in condition for it. Mark?
I wanted to ask Art a question. I haven't the figures before me. I didn't bring any stuff with me. How many, do you know, Art, offhanded how many boys have been killed in football?
Yes, in the last 15 years, over 400 boys have been killed playing football.
Let's abolish football.
Let's no!
It might be a good idea.
Well,
let's abolish Cohen.
Yeah. That wasn't the question.
I said to you, ladies and gentlemen, when I said there's too much reform in the land. I'm beginning to find it out. How many have been killed in automobile racing?
Why, don't I haven't the figures on
Why
that.
Why don't you abolish war, Art? You want to start talking about killing?
Well, no, I'm serious. I'm not kidding, Art. I say, it seems to me that in all forms of sport, there are fatalities. But as you run them down, either it's neglect, bad management. As you said, Dick, the kids are not ready for that great test. A few of these deaths have been due to inadequate covering in a ring. A boy hitting
Definitely
his head.
Definitely. The referee, bad, too.
Bad refereeing. I cannot condemn a sport that has been so much sport to so many millions of people over
you
so
take,
many
well,
hundreds
yes,
of years.
Well, you take Jimmy Doyle. Now, wait a minute. You take Jimmy Doyle. Jimmy Doyle got hurt because of a bad ring. Jimmy was a pretty good boxer out around here, and he went east. In Cleveland, 1946... he fought a boy that he should have licked. But he got careless, a little cocky, as the Irish are likely to do, and stuck his chin in the way, and down went the boy. Well, he hit his head. He didn't fight for 10 months. At the end of 10 months, he came back around the gyms, and he was an entirely different personality than he had been. Whereas he was always a flippant and laughing and ready for a wisecrack, now he's a morose and he's a serious duck, and anyone who knew anything should never have permitted that boy to get in the ring again. But Tony Palazzolo, who had been his manager and knew him well, had died in that 10 months interim, and another joker took over. He matched him with Ray Robinson, and Ray Robinson took a punch at his chin and killed him. But he had been killed practically in that previous fight by banging his head on this unprotected ring.
What do you got to say to that, Arnie?
I only want to say this. Defenders of the fight racket, all we say, how many were killed in football? How many were killed in auto racing? Abolish them.
But wait a minute,
they forget one point. I'm merely answering the question that Mark put forth. They forget that in these other sports, injuries, deaths, are incidental. They're the byproduct of the play. The goal in football is to score touchdowns, field goals. The idea in the fight racket is to knock a man unconscious for a minimum of 10 seconds or a maximum of life.
Well, you are just getting careless, boy, because that proves you've never been around a football field. You get to that.
Well, I waste about 20 years of my life, then.
That's obvious.
Yeah, I grant that.
That's obvious.
I'm an ex-sports writer.
You... How can you talk? You get to that 6 points, Art, by belting somebody and hitting them harder.
Which is a violation of the rules if it's foul.
It's foul. It's free under the rules. Nine guys will hit you at the same time.
All right, gentlemen, all right. I'm afraid this argument could go on all night. Now, in just a few minutes, I'm going to give each of you a chance to summarize your positions. In the meantime, I'm going to call on Pat McGeehan. Where's a mic? Down in the audience. And find out what John Q. Public thinks about the question. Now, will those who have questions please address them to specific members of our sports board, either to Art Cohen, Mark Kelly, or Dick Hyland. Say which one you want to answer the question. All right, Pat, are you about
gentlemen,
ready? You got somebody there now?
Right, Harry, a gentleman in the front row. Your name, please?
How do you do? Mr. Ernst.
From?
Los Angeles, here.
Your question?
Well, could you shed any light on the...
Just a moment, please, Mr. Ernst. Who is your question directed to?
To Art Cohen.
Mr. Cohen,
could you shed any light on the breakaway of Joe Louis from Mike Jacobs? Was it rulings or just what, sir?
Oh, I don't know. That's a political point that I think would take too long to answer. I'm sorry. After the audition, maybe.
That wasn't political. It was financial.
All right.
By the way, the questions ought to be on the subject. Should boxing be abolished? If you'll hit on that subject and make your questions relative to it, then we'll entertain the answer to the question. All right, Pat, there's a man with his hand up right back there.
I'm afraid he's just scratching his head. Any other questions? There's a lady back here. Your name?
Elsa Aguirre. The question is directed to Mr. Kahn and also Mr. Hyland, I believe.
That's right, Dick Hiley.
Well, they both stated that they couldn't quite understand why the Racing Commission should give licenses to ex-convicts, ex-thieves, ex-murderers. I can't quite understand why they don't feel that they are good citizens after they have served their time, such as most of them have.
Okay, Arthur.
I was one that you answered.
All right,
I didn't say that. You said I did. I said there were too many of them in the business. Not boxing, but they're in executive positions. They're in, they're promoting. They're angling. They're chiseling. They're racketeering. They're acting, if you wish, as bartering and selling people. And I think that it's an odd happenstance that too many of those characters happen to have a prison record. Now, I am not a boy who thinks that just because you made a mistake and went over the road, I've signed parole for four different people. I'm hiring one of them now. I think that you should get a break when you come out, if your crime was not a dirty crime. If it happened to be mad, or you happened to have an accident, what the heck? Or you made a mistake because pressure's on. That has nothing to do with it. The racketeering people, I don't want around me, and I don't want in this country. I'll put them back in the clink.
On that point, I must reluctantly agree with Dick. I think that when a man pays his debt to society, he should be forgiven. However, I do not think that the fight business, racket, or what you will, should permit a man, and will name names such as Oney Madden, Sing Sing graduate who was up there for murder. I don't think that Madden should be in a position where he can make and unmake a world heavyweight champion, as he most certainly did.
Next question, Pat.
Well, I still don't see why not. I mean, why do you have that biased opinion that he
is
settled?
Because they did not learn anything in prison. They came out there just the same kind of stinkers they were when they went in.
The lady wants to know, how can you say that?
Come around after the show and we'll give you the life history of a few of them.
That's a date, huh? All right, lady here. Excuse me. Just a second, sir. Your name, please?
My name is Mrs. Ann Meyerhofer, and I wish to ask the young gentleman who's on the Times, I didn't quite remember his name. Mr. Dick Holland, if he has a little baby boy, if he'd like to raise him to go into the prize fight and have his head knocked around.
No, darling, I would not. But I have had two little baby boys, and by the time that they were 3 years old, both of them have had boxing gloves on their hand, learning how to protect themselves.
Well, that wasn't the question. We were talking about the fight racket, not about kids playing with each other in the backyard.
I don't mean that. I mean, would you want your son, your own son, to risk the injury that he would get in a ring?
I think we risk just as many injuries walking around. We have it in basketball. We have it in football.
Why don't you answer the question?
Yes, I would.
I think Mr. Cohen.
Yes, I would. If that man would have a Pop Foster or a George Blake or a Jimmy Johnston guiding him and watching over him and producing the people that they produce.
Well, I think prize fighting is really just glamorizing brutality. And I think Mr. Cohen is exactly right. And I think as we progress in civilization, we should try to get away from brutality instead of building it up.
Honey, I'm all for it. I just came out of 4 years in the Marine Corps.
Gentlemen over here, your name, sir?
Nat Lieberman.
And your question is directed to whom?
Oh, I'd like to direct my question to all three of them. Is that possible?
That is.
Well, as you said, the three gentlemen seated up there are authorities on the sport of boxing. They're also represent the sports field, and I'm sure that they carry a lot of weight in their columns and what they write. Why aren't they in a position also, in order to carry all this weight, to be able to clean up the whole boxing business?
I think that question, sir, was fairly, I tried to answer it for you. All the writers and all the boxing commentators, both in the newspapers and on the air, can't do any good so long as the present method is used in the appointment of boxing commissioners.
Mark Kelly speaking.
That has been my main flaw and main fault with boxing's administration. And men who do not have any qualification to administer the sport itself. Does that answer you?
Well, I think the question answers itself. You ask the question, as everybody asks the question. Why doesn't someone do something about it? Those who write, those who are on the radio, those who make pictures, those who have any voice. The answer is you cannot do anything about it. As long as the fundamental idea of the fight business is for one man to knock another man unconscious for a minimum of 10 seconds or to kill him, you can't do a darn thing about it.
You want to say something, Dick?
Just a second, please.
Mark Twain made a comment on somebody talking a lot, too. Not Dick doing anything about it. You cannot, the answer to get back to the original question, we cannot do very much. All we are individually are little voices in the wilderness. We're screaming, we get nowhere. You people who attend these things and make them possible by supporting them are the real criminals, because no one is going to be doing very much finagling unless there is money behind it. And if you do not support these terrible professional fights, I have written a column within the last 2 years saying that this is the first and only time I will write about a supposed world's champion fight.
You over in Coneside
and
now?
I said it
yep,
stunk.
I got him over. It's 2-1 now, Mark.
I'm talking about the people in it, not the boxers. Now, make a distinction, as I did in the beginning, and I haven't changed my position one bit. There is a tremendous distinction between boxing and the fight racket. There is nothing wrong with boxing. There is a lot wrong with the fight racket that may be cured if, as Mark says, they get proper administration.
And I agree with Dick. There's nothing wrong with boxing at all, the way it is done by his 3-year-old kids out in the backyard.
Another lady right here. Your name, please?
Why don't you stay in?
This is J.B. Harris.
Your question is directed to?
Well, I'd like to fully agree with Mr. Korn that if people would get out more and go to our state institutions and find out that our idiots and our imbeciles and our morons, which has an average age intelligence of 9 years old, is caused from injury at birth or licks on the head, and it can happen to anyone sitting in this room. A very small lick on the head can open or injure any, which will make the enlarged heads. And I have always been opposed to fighting on that account. It looks to me like it's premeditated murder, and that is. And if we're going to abolish all of the racketeers, we don't need to go to the penitentiaries because they just happen to be one that stumbled and got caught up with. We'd better start in Washington, D.C., because our racketeers are starting there, obtaining money they don't get.
Madam, that was something in agreement. That
better bring a chair for that lady right up here.
I think I have a question down here.
One more,
Pat. Gentleman right here. Your name and it's directed to
James Stewart and Mr. Korn. If he's so much against boxing and the fights, why did he make a fight picture, the setup?
Who said that was a fight picture?
I made that fight picture to show what a rotten racket the fight business was, and it was attacked by some of our better sports writers. And in fact,
I ignored it, Ark.
I know. But your dramatic critic did not. He said it was an Academy Award performance by Robert Ryan. However, the Los Angeles Daily News said that that fight picture put boxing back 100 years. I'm merely quoting. I'm not agreeing. I'm not denying. I wrote the picture. Okay.
All right, gentlemen. You've heard and answered the questions of our audience, and now I'm going to give each of you just 1 minute to conclude or summarize your arguments. Now, yeah, Mark Kelly, you're first.
I have no argument. I'm on defense, I guess. I don't know. I say that you can't cure anything by abolishing it, because I have in mind a very noble experiment that we took here a few years ago. I don't know how many of this audience remembers. A little thing called Prohibition. I believe they call that the noble experiment. Well, it was. It was. It took it out of the gin mills and into the hotel rooms, and girls that never drank were really introduced to gin. I don't think reform can do it. I don't believe in the word reform. I just can't see myself setting myself up as a mentor to tell millions of people who have voted boxing in. Now, remember that. That was voted in by the people. Or their duly elected representatives and legislators. I don't think I am big enough to tell those people they're nuts or they can't have it. That's my argument.
All right, Dick, you're next.
I agree with Mr. Kelly. In fact, I'm one of those that voted for it. But I do not like the way that it is administrated. It is a fine pair of shoes, but it squeaks and it pinches my toe. Now, that is nothing wrong with the shoe. It's just that my foot doesn't fit that shoe. Now, it's the same way with boxing. There is nothing wrong with boxing per se. Boxing itself, when well regulated, is a fine college sport. It's a fine amateur sport, and it could be, as it once was, back in the 90s and early hundreds, a fairly sporting sport among professionals. Now, it is nothing but a racket. And I should like to say that the difference is only in the administration and not in the game itself.
All right, Art?
Well, Hyland likes boxing. He doesn't like the fight racket. The men use the same gloves on the same hands. Same men are killed by the same blows. To talk of broken necks and blood and 44 men killed in the last 4 years is not pretty. The fight racket is not pretty. And I say a racket that has killed so many itself should be killed.
Thank you, Mark Kelly.
Thank you,
Dick Hyland. And thank you, Art Korn. Thank you, too, ladies and gentlemen of the audience, who have taken part in this argument on the question, should boxing be abolished? What you've said has been interesting and, to me, most informative. For the most part, a distinction has been made between boxing and the fight racket. Art Korn and some of the people in the audience have expressed themselves against boxing itself. The rest of you have pretty well agreed that the price ring situation is no longer as good sport as in years gone by. It has become a racket, due principally to the character of many members of the Fight Commission and the promoters, managers, and others in executive capacities. This is a situation sports writers can help correct, but they can do nothing unless the people themselves are aroused and demanding. The consensus, as I see it, is not that boxing should be abolished, but the fight racket should be. Next week, another controversial subject. Should college athletes be paid?
And so another session of Sports Straight from the Shoulder must come to a close. I hope you've enjoyed this very frank, very honest discussion of sports questions so close to every sportsman's heart. If you have a question you want our sports experts to answer, just send it to Sports Straight from the Shoulder in care of the station to which you are listening. Valuable prizes will be awarded to all questions chosen. In case of duplications, the postmark will determine the winner. In any event, our panel will be the sole judge. So be with us again next week at the same time over the same network when our experts discuss the very vital question, should college athletes be paid? Sports Straight from the Shoulder was originated and produced by Ken Crepine. This is Pat McGeehan bidding you all good night and saying, it's easier to be a good sport than a bad one.